This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
That's right, we're back in the basement. Somehow, some way, we got out of New Orleans and actually made it back home, barely, just in time for the show. Welcome to ACC Network. We're always streaming live on that ESPN app, not to mention you guys on SiriusXM Channel 371. Number for the show, by the way, is 844-SAY-ACCN.
Yeah, a couple of days without calls, now we're back and we'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, we'll definitely take calls today.
Yeah.
We were busy analyzing pre and post championship football, but
lots of guests, lots of great guests.
We got all kinds of stuff going on today, and crazy night again in hoops. And once again, anytime me and American Airlines hook up, it's just not happening. It just, you know, Wes, you just kind of think.
Now, wait a second.
You kind of get the due factor sometimes that you're overdue to finally have kind of just a.
It landed, didn't it?
Sort of. We came in there.
You're
a little,
here.
We came in there a little about, you know, 28%, one wing down, one. I mean, it was. I was just glad to get off the tarmac.
Can I have that one more time? How did it come in?
We're coming in like this, like, you know. I think I got it. Good grief, American Airlines.
What? No, wait a second.
What, by the way, what are the odds that American Airlines would ever be a sponsor of this show?
Oh.
On a scale of 1 to 100 being the sales department at ESPN right now is formalizing the details, and we're just waiting for a signature.
Waiting on
a
Packer.
1 being.
Waiting on Packer's signature.
A 1 being that I'm going to be the Heisman front runner for the upcoming 2020 season. What would be the odds of American Airlines being a sponsor of this show? Can we get to a 1?
No.
So it was good seeing you in the airport yesterday. As soon as our show ended, I had to beeline it to make a flight.
With several people.
But I had, I can only speak for me on this one. I had to beeline. I bought literally the last seat.
On the 1140.
The 11.
Oh, the 11, I'm sorry.
It was first delayed to 1140. It was then delayed to 120. It was then delayed to 140. But the reason I had to make the flight is because I had to get back home here in the basement so I could do the SiriusXM show
right.
In the afternoon. It was the only way it could fit. Do our dog and pony and then the afternoon dog and pony.
Right.
It was like the perfect window. It was the only chance. And, of course, there's a traffic delay getting to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, fog shuts everything down.
New Orleans, it does.
Or whatever was going on. Because by the time I got to the airport, it was a beautiful, sunny day. And it was not an airplane in sight. So, I'm, you know, 4 hours later, we finally take off without seeing everybody. It was a who's who in the American Airlines B terminal yesterday. I mean, anybody in college football, media, front office, commissioners.
Yes.
Right. We dealt with 2 of the 5 yesterday.
Yes, we did. Had we been able to find Larry Scott, Greg Sankey, and Malcolm Turner, is that the new commissioner?
Well, we would have never found Larry Scott because there was no reason for him to be there.
But I think he was there at some point.
But he probably left early.
Yeah.
He had like the Saturday flight that finally left on Monday.
That's it. We were short of the Big Ten, the SEC, and the Pac-12. Elsewise, we covered the rest of major college football yesterday because within the span, literally of 15 feet and 5 minutes, we had conversations with Bob Bowlesby
right.
of the Big 12
right.
and, of course, John Swofford of the ACC who came over and was very kind. Good to see you.
He was on our delayed flight.
He was on your flight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so that was good.
But here's the thing that's so great about American Airlines. We're going to get to football and basketball and all your ACC sports, so just bear with us. Not only are we delayed 3 to 4 hours, Wes, by the time I left you and Fitzsimmons and Macri and cast of thousands that were all rubbing elbows.
Steve Kime, the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, Steve Kime. I mean, it was crazy what was going on. So I said, boys, I hate to do this to you. I actually get to leave.
Yeah.
So I get up, take my nonsense, got my
and
bag.
And then we looked over there, and you were still standing in line.
I was in line, and then, of course,
and still in line.
Still in line, and there's a bunch of Clemson people. Hey, take a picture, which is
oh,
fine.
Yeah.
I love doing
it. Love the show, where the dogs.
All that, which yeah. I've got no issue with the fans ever.
It was great to meet a lot of people
oh,
who watched the show.
It was crazy, yeah. But nevertheless. So
can't believe you put up with that Packer.
Yeah, that's all right. So it's finally time for me to put the old deep routine, right? Sitting in 39J. And so I've got my bags with me because, as you know, if you check a bag into the Charlotte airport, you can add 40 minutes to your flight because it's the worst in America. The worst in America with your bags. So the lady says, excuse me, Mr. And I've done the doop, and I'm going down the tunnel. Excuse me, Mr. Packer.
Mr. Packer.
And I'm turning around like, hey, yeah, and I'm thinking there's something, like I left something, you know. Or left my phone. Or
somehow or another, your pictures popped up.
Something. She goes, oh, excuse me, Mr. Packer. And, you know, chugging my stuff back up. And she goes, I believe your suitcase is too big. I said, excuse me? She goes, I believe your suitcase is too big. I said, I don't think so. I said, you know, I didn't check it on the way down there. It didn't seem to be a problem. She goes, oh, could you please put it here? And they have that little rack, right?
And so which I is at, always smaller.
The rack is about this big right here. This is the size of the American Airlines rack. If your suitcase is bigger than this, we're going to have to check it. So, and again, knowing the Charlotte Airport baggage, I put my bag on there. And, I couldn't put the wheel of the bag in with the little compartment. She goes, oh, I'm sorry, we're going to have to check that. And I said to her, you just added 40 minutes to my flight. She has no idea. I might as well have been speaking Ed Orgeron, right? She had no idea what I was talking about. So there it goes. Sir, somebody will come to get your bag. I said, you know what? How about if I just take it? Sir. We'll have somebody take your bag. And sure enough, here comes Bob the bag carrier. And there goes Bob taking my bag. And I'm thinking, I'm never going to see that again. Off it goes. So I go back.
Good to see you, Bob.
Good seeing you, Bob. There goes the bag. I go schlepping back the 39J strapped to the back wing, Velcroed. And sure enough, Wes, I walked in the front door right upstairs, right in front of the West Durham suite.
Yeah.
6:35 p.m.
Yeah. With the bag?
Oh, I got my bag.
Oh,
40 minutes later. You know who else is waiting on his bag?
Who?
ACC Commissioner John Swofford.
Wow. There's something to be done about that now.
And guess whose bag was like next to last to come through the rack? I'm telling you, American Airlines, we are not best friends. And in Charlotte, that's a problem. That's a real problem.
Well,
but it was great seeing the world in Terminal B.
At Louis B. Armstrong International Airport
tremendous.
And Boondoggle.
It really was. It was a who's who walking
it
around.
It was. Couple of other notes.
You were right on time, though, of course, right?
Well, I got there early because I just hate waiting around hotels, and I had a later flight. So Josh Macri, our producer, was leaving, and I said, hey, Josh, I'll just ride with you. You sure you want to go that early? Well, sure. So we rode out to the airport together and was able to track you down. I got caught up in a conversation on the way down to the gate, and then the next thing I know, on the way down, you had met some people that watched the show who are from Raleigh.
Right.
And they have a daughter who went to school at Clemson. Next
right.
thing I know, they stopped me. We had a conversation about their visit with you and then a couple of other folks. And by the time I got down there, I got Mr. Happy Traveler. And Josh and I stood there, and then we watched you go away. Ian Fitzsimmons, ESPN Radio, was our gracious host for lunch.
We appreciate him picking up the tab.
Yeah, he did. Picked it up. Somebody will need a show code to get that done later on, by the way. Now, our travel travails here on Packer and Durham did not come without casualty, because if we go live, and I do mean live, back to HQ, we only have one lumberjack.
What happened? Where did our boy Macri go? Last time I saw Macri, he was sucking down some gumbo.
Yeah. Macri was eating a boudin ball and hammering the gumbo and the muffaletta pizza.
Yeah, he was eyeballing my upside-down pineapple cornbread.
Meanwhile, the lead Sun Devil is the only guy in the captain's chair this morning.
Man.
So what's the latest report on our man connecting at O'Hare.
So, I mean, that's what I really want to talk about. We need to – I love Josh, but we need to show him a map of the United States. I'm not sure why he decided to fly through Chicago, but what is it, 7:09 Eastern? He should be getting on a plane in about 40 minutes from Chicago.
Let me put things in perspective. Literally, I don't know, 40 minutes ago, our youngest daughter, Emerson, who was brought up multiple times, even with President Clements.
Yeah, right? The president, Emerson and the president have a better relationship than you have with the president, and you're the one writing the check.
Right. So Emerson went to the game. She won the lottery to get a ticket. I said, listen, if you get your way down to New Orleans, I'll give you a budget of X. If you come under X, you can go. And so Emerson, our youngest daughter, who had never been to a national championship game for football.
And now we'll never be allowed to go back.
Oh, no. She said, Dad, you know what? Count Miami. So she's already locked and loaded for Miami next year. She thinks Clemson's ready to roll. So here was her itinerary. She drove from Clemson to Charlotte. This is her way down. She flew Charlotte to Baltimore. Baltimore to New Orleans. On time.
Yeah.
Not going American Airlines, by the way. Yesterday, she left New Orleans at 6 a.m. She got in. She was staying with a bunch of Kappa Kappa Gammas in Bourbon Street. She had no sleep, she said.
Yeah.
And
I'm convinced that when she was jumping up and down in the end zone the other night when we were getting ready to be on the huddle, and you were saying, oh, by the way, there's Emerson. I'm like, oh, boy.
Rocking. They were having a good time. So she left yesterday morning in New Orleans at 6 a.m. She got out before the fog, apparently, because she was on time. She went New Orleans to Denver, Denver to Detroit, Detroit to Charlotte.
On time.
Every flight on time. Guess what airline she didn't fly? American. So I went back after coming home at 6:30.
Oh, no.
Amy said, my wife says, I need to go back to the airport. I said, what are you doing that for? She goes, oh, Emerson's getting in. I said, you know what? Let me go. I've had so much fun at the airport today. I'll go pick her up. Sure enough, right on time. There she comes, bebopping around. So you saw every state in the country today except California. Didn't miss anything.
To Drew's point, though, Josh has a little bit of an issue when it comes to connecting dots.
Yeah, towardness. That's what we call it.
Because if I remember correctly, Drew, is this not the same Josh Macri that once flew from Hartford to Washington to Charlotte?
It was for some reason. Something like that, or maybe Raleigh. I don't remember. There was one flight where he was crisscrossing the United States. I'm sorry, I was distracted too. I'm trying to figure out flight times from Charlotte to New Orleans, but then New Orleans to Denver, Denver to Detroit, Detroit to Charlotte.
Well, didn't you
I'm
hear,
halfway there, but there's a lot of math.
But wait, didn't you hear that we had a budget?
Yeah.
Because
I did. I'm a
my
little bit,
daughter, my daughter's going to go to the national championship game, but here's your budget.
No, let me tell you what, and this is why I'm proud of my daughter.
Okay.
That itinerary that I just gave you, Charlotte to Baltimore, Baltimore to New Orleans,
right.
New Orleans to Denver, Denver to Detroit, Detroit to Charlotte, and then drive back. She's driving back right now to make go to class this morning. $260 round trip.
Wow.
That's strong.
Very strong.
So I gave her all the props. I gave her extra spending money just because she came in so far under what I gave her as a budget to figure it out. So
I just Googled flights from Charlotte to New Orleans. You can fly your favorite airline. It's 2 hours and 5 minutes nonstop from $221. So I'm not really sure what she did, but we can get there pretty cheap.
Yeah, well, guess what? The funny thing is nonstop, direct, and on time in 2 hours. That's the funny part that you just rattled off. It really isn't direct. It's about 9 hours, apparently, for American Airlines. And if you check your bag, you make it 11 hours.
Let me just say that I enjoyed my on-time departure, my on-time arrival, and I enjoyed meeting all the people who apparently have enjoyed the previous 98 shows of Packer and Durham.
This everybody, is 99, isn't it? Tomorrow's a big day for
us. Tomorrow's a big day for us.
You think we're going to get there?
Yeah, I think so.
If American Airlines was in charge of our show, could we get to show 100? That's what I'd ask you.
I think so.
This is 99.
Yeah, we'd get to. might get there 15 minutes into it, but we get to Mr. Packer. That bag's not going to fit.
I couldn't believe it. I was 10 feet past her, too. Excuse me. Mr. Packer! I thought I'd left my keys or something. No, we're going to screw you some more, Mr. Packer.
Oh, now, come on. All right, we got plenty to go in the show, believe it or not. This is not some Travel Channel breakdown.
Can you imagine me doing a Travel Channel show?
No.
Would that be awesome?
I can't imagine you doing a Travel Channel show.
You kidding?
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Chester's sound asleep. Fuller.
Right asleep over here.
He's over there,
yeah,
with the
right,
boys.
Right here.
The boys are glad that I got home, but you know, getting up at 3:30 in the morning now, that was, it's knocked them out.
All right.
Let's get to business.
All right. Three ball games on the slate last night in the ACC. The biggest win is this double down on basketball that Clemson has performed. You know all about the heroics and the stunning moments of Saturday afternoon's overtime win at Carolina. Well, then the Tigers, I'm laughing because of what people were saying on the plane yesterday.
Yeah. Same stuff.
You think we, I'd trade that Carolina win for the Natty last night. And I went, no, it doesn't work like that, sir. Cause you're gonna have a chance to get Duke tonight. No, we're not. Well, guess what?
They did.
You doubled down. You beat Carolina and Duke last night, 79-72. And boy, Amir Sims has taken it to another level. 25-9-5. By the way, John Newman III, son of Johnny Newman Pack. He gets a layup there, a three out of the corner, but he had a dunk in the first half. That'll set you right.
You know, it's bizarre. What I'm about ready to tell you, Wes, you might fall out of your chair.
Hmm.
By the time I got home,
yeah,
I'm watching the game.
Right.
As good as Duke has been, and they have been outstanding, Clemson looked like the better team last night.
Yeah. This looked like the better dunk.
In terms of execution.
Right.
I mean, Clemson was really, really good.
I think Tigers are playing with a tremendous amount of confidence.
Yeah.
Newman, big plays. Sims, big plays. I thought Clyde Trapp's return has also had an impact in what they were doing.
Sure has.
And I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to hear from the Hall of Fame coach of the Blue Devils first, and that's Mike Krzyzewski on his team's first ACC loss.
You know, our kids have to understand how hard it is to win. And we've been winning, and they've been terrific. But when you're in conference, all these games, people are hungry. And if you win a lot, sometimes you're not as much as the other team.
And you see, it's been almost 11 years since Clemson's last win over a top five team.
Here's the way,
yes, sir.
That is the 11th. Time this year that an unranked team has knocked off an AP top five team. Yeah. 11 times. It's only January 15th.
That is correct. So Clemson wins. By the way, the difference in the ball game is 3 2-point baskets. No, 3 2-point baskets and one free throw.
Whoa, American Airlines. What happened there?
3 2-point baskets.
3-2.
And one free throw.
And one free throw. Okay.
Because,
3-2-1.
I mean, when you look at the stats of this game, Clemson is 30 of 53 from the floor. Duke is 27 of 54. They both hit 8 threes. Duke took one more than Clemson.
Bottom line is Clemson shot 56% from the field.
And Duke shot 50 and lost.
And lost. But neither team can make a free throw. Look at the free throw numbers in this game.
11 of 22 and 10 of 20.
Brutal.
Yeah. By the way, Duke was also -8 rebound margin against a team in Clemson who everybody thinks is undersized. Right? With Amir Sims being their biggest player.
The last time Clemson basketball defeated NC State, North Carolina, and Duke. The owners of Tobacco Road all of a sudden.
I was coaching.
The last time they won three consecutive.
Yes, sir.
Back to back to back with NC State, North Carolina, Duke.
Yeah.
1967.
Yeah, I was coaching.
Hey, boy, get your damn hand on my face. 110%.
All right, so that's that game. Oh, by the way, sidebar, historical game two for Clemson.
No doubt.
Not just that.
Coach.
Our man Brad Brownell becomes the Tigers' all-time winningest coach.
Obviously, I'm honored to have to be the winningest coach at Clemson, but that's the result of a lot of hard work from a lot of people. I've coached a lot of great players here and kids that have given a lot to our program and had some terrific assistant coaches that work with me. And it's just, it's more of a program deal than me. What I'm excited about is that I've been at Clemson for 10 years. And, I enjoy it here. My girls go to school here. I love Clemson. Love being a coach here, competing in the ACC. And, so I'm very, very grateful for that and humbled because there's been a lot of really good coaches that have coached here. And so to be able to be here as long as I have and to compete in this league, that's something I'm really proud of.
All right. You know how sometimes
– happy for him.
I am too.
Such a good
extremely
dude.
Very good guy. Can I get into fits? Because every once in a while you talk about fits and how important fits are.
You mean people fitting
people
into cultures.
People fitting and systems right. and cultures right. and schools right. and all that, right?
Yep.
Okay. In the world of college athletics, Clemson is a football school. I get it, okay? You're not Kentucky, Kansas, UCLA, Carolina, whatever. You're not that school. You're a football school. And you know what? There are times when you can be proud of other programs and other coaches for the success they have, whether it's Mike Noonan in soccer or – you know, what Larry Penley's done with golf and all the things that, let me tell you this. This guy right here is not a good fit, Pac. He's a great fit at Clemson University to coach their basketball team.
Well, again, the numbers speak for itself. .178 in the win column. And let's be honest too. It's not an easy job.
That's right.
Clemson is not an easy gig from a basketball perspective. Given the dominance of football, but you know, we had Brad on last week and you can already hear and he talked about Dabo and the relationship
right.
with all that. And he and Penley, I know, are best buds and who wouldn't be. But you know, I'm happy for Brad because
yeah.
Let's be honest too. They got off to a lousy start.
He knew it.
He lost to Virginia Tech at home. They
right.
lost to Yale at home, lost to South Carolina at home.
Right.
Lost to Miami in overtime, a game that really probably should have won. And you're probably thinking, yikes, this is really getting off to a lousy start. And in the last 10 days, they beat NC State, the game you did. They looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
What they did in Chapel Hill is a legendary win for the ages.
Right.
And last night, like I told you, if you didn't know any better, and I said to you, hey, one of these teams is ranked number three. The other one's unranked. You'd have gone, well, the team in the orange and white's number three. I mean, they just looked like a better team yep. than Duke last night when it mattered in the second half.
By the way, Louisville and Pittsburgh played the fifth overtime game in ACC play this year and the third in 3 days when they got Pittsburgh last night 73-68 at Peterson Events Center.
How about the end of that game? How about the end of that
game? Little interesting at the end.
Infamous ACC index
card. Yeah. Tied at 68, or it's actually 70-68, and it looks like Terrell Brown has tipped home a miss that actually I think Malik Williams tips home, and Terrell Brown gets called for a fifth foul. Jordan Wara, 14-6 last night for the Cards. Boy, Pittsburgh plays hard.
I like their team.
Yeah,
you know, look, the court, the unis, the zoo's kind of getting back in action again.
Yeah.
There's still a couple pieces missing, but Capel's done a really nice job in a short period of time.
By the way, Pittsburgh was really playing uphill. Remember, they had the Sunday night 6 o'clock game at Miami,
which is one
of their longest trips of the year. They lost that game and then come back last night, lose the heartbreaker in overtime, 73-68.
Dwayne Sutton, 13-9 last night,
yeah.
picked up the pieces.
Well, remember, Chris Mack wants senior guys to step up.
And,
he got it last night from Dwayne Sutton. We'll talk about Virginia Tech's road win at Wake Forest. Tyrese Radford had a dunk in that game, by
Woo!
The way.
Poster.
Yeah. 80-70, the Hokies win. We'll cover that. Another road win in conference play, and it's now 17-24 are home teams in ACC play.
You did it on the fly, didn't you?
17-24 right there.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
And we have a ton of guests today. Ton of guests.
Yep. Grace Rayner of The Athletic, Tori McElhaney of The Athletic still to come, and more, right?
Joe Giglio.
We got phone calls. We got all sorts of stuff set up.
So. And our man next.
Well, now here in history, Brad Brownell joins a very distinguished list in ACC basketball, by the way, because I think the last guy to get Carolina and Duke in order, Brownell got State, Carolina, Duke, but I think the last guy to get Carolina and Duke in order is our man right here from Fairleigh Dickinson University, the alum of the year, Seth Greenberg.
Coach, good morning.
What's up, guys? What a weekend or 7 days for Clemson and Brad Brownell. You can't be happier for anyone. In fact, I wore the official Clemson tie in honor of Clemson's two wins.
So this would be your equivalent of when Chester and Fuller go bandanas for Team of the Weekend. This is what you're doing with us today.
Exactly. Well, yeah, it's a great accomplishment. When you can beat Carolina and Duke, and we were fortunate to do it actually on the road a long time ago when I had hair. No, I didn't have hair, but what they were able to do is absolutely incredible. And, you know, to me, there are two storylines to this, actually three. Number one is, look, early in the season, they were struggling. They weren't healthy. They had injuries. To get your team back after struggling, after kind of gut-wrenching losses, losses that you can't explain, it's the hardest thing to do in coaching. There's nothing harder. You can tell that a coach has a connection and a relationship with his players and they believe in him when you're able to do that. So that's the first thing that Brad has been able to do. The second thing that you've been able to do is validate a win. Because when you beat North Carolina for the first time on the road in your history, to validate that win and then have Duke come to your home court and win 3 days later, I'll tell you one thing, that's pretty special. And Brad is not a good coach. You guys are right. He's a great coach. He's a great communicator. He's a terrific teacher. And he's a better person. And he does fit at Clemson because he gets the dynamic between football and basketball and understands it. They're building facilities. They're helping him. If you give him time, he will continue to win. He's just a great fit at Clemson. And my third thing is legal court storm. No doubt about it, 100%. Legal court storm, fast developing, good energy, and by the way, it also lasted a while. Those are my three thoughts on the Clemson-Duke game.
But Seth, you know, I will say one thing. The Clemson students got an advantage because the referees kept going to the monitor for about a half an hour spells inside 5 minutes. So there was plenty of time to say, hey, listen, if we hold on to win this thing, boys, we'll meet you at the paw at midcourt at the end of this thing.
Those were the longest, basically, reviews I've ever seen for something. You know what they should do to review guys? Instead of going to the monitor, just go to the guys that are calling the game. Say, what do you got? Because for some reason, the guys that are calling the game, they see it about 10 minutes sooner than the guys that are going to the monitor. And then when they bring in the third guy, I love when they bring in the third light. Like, here's my deal. Like, the first two guys are the two blind mice, so you got to bring in the third dude?
Yeah,
Come on, give me a break.
Let's bring in a mediator. I mean, but, you know, listen, I know they want to get it right. I know it's a hard gig.
It's important.
But you got to, you know, at some point in time, make a call. Just make the call. But, I mean, it just went on and stopped the flow of the game, and guys are ordering out pizzas on both teams. It was just forever.
No, J.D. Collins. No, Brian Kersey. I got Greenberg and Packer right here, and they're arguing review. So,
hey, I'm just telling you, though, if you watched the game, though, last night, and I know even those guys were trying to get – I know they're trying to get it right.
Right.
I know they're trying to get it right. But at some point in time, hey, I've seen the replay now five times. Make a call.
Exactly.
Make a call.
Okay.
Let's go play.
Right, or don't make a call like in the Pitt Louisville game.
Oh.
Another excellent point.
Every once in a while I get lucky.
I tell you what, I'm not quite at the bald head gathering at the, what you guys are going to be doing, but you and I are on the same page this morning, Greenberg. I'm telling you. All over it.
Hey, all right.
I don't know. I'm a little worried now.
Yeah, Packer's going to come in, and he'll be like one of your first guests on Bald Men on Campus, and we'll talk about that in a moment. I want to ask you what you said about the back end, and you said getting your team back, okay? Clemson is back. There's no doubt. You put these three wins together, that team is back in play. But the second part of this is we've got some teams that do need to get back, and you know the list here. I mean, you know, you got a scenario. Certainly we're playing out. We've talked about Carolina to a point. I mean, we got Virginia that needs to get back to a degree, right? I mean, we've got a couple teams on this list that need to go find this solution pretty quick here now.
Yeah, but, you know, some teams, they're like, you are who you are. Like, when you talk about Carolina, you talk about Virginia, they are who they are. I mean, Look, this Virginia team, if they can keep it in the 50s, they got a chance to win. If it gets to the 60s, they're going to struggle. Mm-hmm. They don't have shot makers. They don't have playmakers. And they're going to play the way they're going to play. Look, they're going to embrace the pace. They're going to own the tempo of the game. They're going to limit possessions. Here's the difference. At the end of those possessions, last year, you had Ty Jerome in a high ball screen, making a play, looking over the defense. Or you had Kyle Guy knocking down a jumper. You had DeAndre Hunter on a ball reversal, you know, maybe in the mover blocker, catching it on a curl, getting in the lane. They don't have anyone to give the ball to in a short clock situation. And they play in short clock situations. That's who they are right now. So, you know, I think Virginia, I don't see a quick fix because not, they don't, someone's not going to automatically emerge as a guy that can go get him 18, 20 points besides Diakite. And then North Carolina, look, we've all been through this and I understand, you know, I'm watching Coach Williams go through this and, you know, it's almost like shock. He should have used me as counseling. I can tell him how to deal with this because I've been through it a couple times. But I mean, like, Coach, you know, like, here's the deal. Bubba's not firing you, so, like, you're going to keep your job. I think you're, yeah, I think you have a little security. So enough of that. No one's going to feel sorry for you. You said that in the press conference. Your team is your team. The only thing you can do now is empower your players and coach your team and, you know, and then see if Cole comes back. Because, you know, by what he said last week, let's be honest, if you're Cole Anthony and his family, you're thinking, do I want to come back and be part of this? Can I fix it? If I can fix it, maybe that basically enhances my draft status. But, you know, I think North Carolina is who they are. They don't have guys on the wing that can score it. It's so much pressure on their front court. They don't have a guy that can create to make plays for other people. The biggest thing is that it's transferred over a little bit on the defensive end. You know, your defense can't be connected to your offense. It's got to stand on its own, and it really hasn't as much as it needs to be.
Well, I hope we see Cole Anthony again in the North Carolina jersey. But getting back to Virginia, tonight's game to me is a dangerous game for the Hoos. They're going to go take a Florida State team that's probably going to look at those guys as the walking wounded a little bit. And with all the waves of dudes that Leonard Hamilton can throw on you, this is one of those games tonight in terms of the pecking order and power balance of the league. I think it's worthy of keeping an eye on. This could be a very, very tough night for Virginia.
It could be. And look, I love Florida State. I think they're special. I think, as I said last time, the Rodney Dangerfield of the ACC is Florida State and Leonard Hamilton. You know, what they have is they have enough experience. They have size, athleticism, depth. They turn you over. They rebound the ball so they get extra possessions. They have a number of different guys on any given night that can drop 25. Every time Devin Vassell shoots the ball, you think it's going in. MJ Walker came off the bench the other day, was terrific. Trent Forrest can guard anyone. And they're playing a wounded Virginia team. You know, in a lot of ways right now with Duke losing, I look at Florida State and I look at Duke and I look at Louisville. It's a three-team race. And the question is, where's the fourth and fifth team that's going to make the NCAA tournament? I think that Virginia Tech and what they're doing, if they can maintain what they're doing, like last night's win was a good win because it's a road win. Yeah. I'm not sure it helps get you in the NCAA tournament, but they might be the next one. Pitt, because of their backcourt. Their backcourt reminds me a lot of my Virginia Tech backcourt with Xavier Dowdell and Jamon Gordon. I think they're tough and they defend, but it's hard. NC State, I think, can play their way into that point. They got a really good win against Wisconsin in the non-conference, which is going to be really good because Wisconsin's getting better. It's going to be interesting to see how the season plays out. I think the top three teams have separated themselves, though.
All right, I want to get to Friday night, 9 o'clock Eastern. Right here on ACC Network, the debut of Bald Men on Campus with said Bald Men.
We're not inviting Reese. We're not inviting Reese.
Jay Billis, Seth Greenberg, LaFonso Ellis. A preview of the weekend slate of ACC basketball, right?
Yeah, I think it's great. The only, like, LaFonso keeps on asking me, Coach, what do I need to bring? What do I need to bring? I said, just bring your bald dome. That's all you need. You know, you have hair, you grow it out, right? You're off the set, but. It's going to be great because, look, you know, we all three of us have a great appreciation of the ACC.
Right.
We understand what those weekend games are all about. We understand how competitive even this year, even more competitive, because you've got teams that have, in recent years, been in the NCAA tournament by now. Basically, their resumes have been created, and, you know, their resumes are such that they know they're going to be in, that have to play their way into the NCAA tournament. So each and every game is going to mean that much more. The league is not what it was. It lost so many players to the NBA draft over the last few years. But it's still the venues, every game, the games aren't games, they're events. And the games are going to mean that much more for the Virginias and the North Carolinas and the NC States. You can't afford a bad loss, and you've got to win the games you're supposed to win and try to beat one of the big three. I mean, like, those teams that are trying to get in, they got to beat Duke, or they got to beat Louisville, they got to beat Florida State, because those are the wins that are going to resonate. Now, look, I beat Duke and didn't get in, but that's another story.
All right, yeah. Well, we remember the campaign that lasted the last couple of weeks of the regular season.
Well, it lasted 4 years.
Okay.
In fact, I think it's still going on.
All right. I know Pac's got a real quick question. You mentioned the value of wins over that top three. In essence, the ACC, because it doesn't have, beyond Duke, beyond Florida State, to a degree Louisville, the ACC does not have another program that has a glowing, I mean glowing, non-conference resume. So these conference games now, are they two premiums? Are they bigger than they've typically been because of that?
Oh, without a doubt, they're bigger, okay. And especially those games against those teams. And then you're looking at, like, say, NC State when they play Virginia, or Virginia when they play, Pitt. I mean, you got to win those games. You got to find a way to differentiate yourself. Look, you're not competing against a team in your league, but you're trying to separate yourself in a lot of ways, because eventually they're going to look at the head-to-head. Yeah. And they're going to say, well, head-to-head, you know, NC State's 2-0 against Virginia. We'd have a hard time. Right now they're a pretty low-level playing field. You have a hard time putting Virginia in, say, and I'm just using them as an example,
right,
when they lost twice to NC State.
Okay.
Before we let you run, Wes and I will unveil our accounting, which is we rank the ACC teams 1 through 15, which is an absolutely impossible task, but we try to do it and look foolish every week we do it. You mentioned 1, 2, 3. I think everybody would be in agreement, whatever order you want to put them in. The three best teams in the league are Duke, Louisville, and Florida State. Again, whatever order you want to put them in. If I threw this on you, Seth, to put yourself in accounting, and I said to you, hey, all right, we agree on 1, 2, 3, who would you put at 15?
Right now.
Today.
Probably right now today, Wake Forest.
Wake. Hmm. Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, all Wake right. Forest. I just don't trust them. I would almost put Virginia Tech at 4, NC State at 5. Again, I don't have it in front of me right now.
No. Yeah, I know. All right.
But and Clemson's playing their way in. The problem is, and Yale's not a bad loss. I mean, Yale's a good team. The South Carolina game could end up being a bad loss. But they're going to have opportunities. There's no doubt about it. But Clemson, they're going to have good wins, and they're getting road wins, which is, as we all know, is really important.
Yeah. Well, good luck. We look forward to seeing Bald Men on campus Friday night, 9:00 Eastern. Now, remember, ESPN's game day is at Duke on Saturday, but Bald Men on campus from Duke Friday night at 9:00. I thought it was appropriate they put LaFonso on top, Jay in the middle, and Greenberg on the bottom ring of this.
I'm supposed to be. 99 shows you guys survived.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You so know what far.
I had 75 is the over under.
You lose, good man. That's it. Get
you guys
Fuller.
Are great. My boys agree with me. Yeah.
Fuller's not having any of your rhetoric there, Greenberg. Seth, thank you so much. Appreciate it as always.
You guys are the best. I appreciate it.
Seth Greenberg. I know Fuller. He's 75, dude. That's all he had in him.
Guy comes in here and insults you guys. That's you guys exactly are stars. Right. You knew you were going to make at least 100 shows.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy, and then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Seth Greenberg, always appreciate his insight.
Bald Men on campus sounds like fun Friday night.
Had a good time, no doubt. Those guys are doing an outstanding
game. Oh, yeah.
And they know the league, too.
No question.
Which makes it even better.
We'll get to this in a minute. I'm not ready for
Won't fit, Wes.
By the way, coming up before we're done with this show today, just so you guys know.
Show 99.
Before we're done, we are 2 days late, 2.5, and we know it. Accounting. Oh.
I feel great about mine today.
I like mine. I'm good with mine.
Yep.
I made one tweak last night. Made a couple tweaks last night.
I wanted to, but I didn't touch it.
Yeah. Yeah, I made a major tweak.
You going to?
Let's just say that I kind of like where the Hokies are.
Oh, now you're back on the Hokie bandwagon.
Oh, really?
No, right? We've gone. All right. This is how this whole thing got started, you know, with Virginia Tech and football. Yeah. By the way, we do have some Virginia Tech football news later in the show.
In fact, coming up top of the hour.
Yeah. Very interesting.
We are watching. One of the things that I think we have to kind of look at is
Chester all right over there?
Digs a hole in the green room couch. You all right, Chester? Gonna be
find
good.
The right spot. Look at him.
There he is.
Find the right spot.
Gotta find
him. You know, we were talking about fits.
Yeah.
You Chester. Heard Greenberg talking about
watch
how
this.
Brad
watch
Brunell
this fit
fits
right here.
Look at Chester. Yeah, gotta find just the right spot. On the
how's that
chair.
Going, Chester? Is it good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, we had to put Fuller in timeout again. That's like six consecutive shows that Fuller's not made it for the 3 hours.
Fuller's having a hard time hitting
He's
the bell.
He's watching it upstairs near the West Durham suite.
Is that
He's
right?
watching Chester right now.
There
his buddy.
We go. Chester.
Getting some airtime. Yeah. All right, let's get into this.
We're watching the emotions of college basketball play out on television.
In terms of the stress on coaches, no question.
I mean,
about
in Hall of Fame coaches.
Two great ones, all-time great.
I mean,
ones.
We saw it after the Clemson game on Saturday with Roy Williams. Hey, right. guys, I, you know.
Just the
I
tone,
didn't get it,
the body language.
I didn't get
I mean,
it done. Right.
It was just to the, it was a shot to the gut is what that was.
And then you take that and the frustration and almost exasperation of what Roy Williams has gone to. And then you look at what we were told was going to be a struggle and we anticipated being a struggle. And that is what Muffet McGraw is going through at Notre Dame. Now, remember, this is a team that has lived in Final Fours, right?
Yeah,
last couple of years especially.
No question.
And now here's Muffet McGraw after her loss to NC State on Sunday, and she is in a bad spot.
How difficult has this been for you where you think, okay, maybe you have an answer between Thursday and today, and then something like this happens. Like, just keep searching for something.
I gotta do better. I feel like I can fix it, but I didn't. And I'm gonna keep trying, and I'm gonna find an answer, and I'm gonna fix it.
I gotta tell you, Wes, the first time I saw that a couple days ago, it was hard to watch.
That is.
And knowing both Roy Williams and Muffet a little bit, they're such great, not good, great coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And when all of a sudden you have a year in which, guess what? Now, I always seem to have the right answers. I always figured out a way to push the right button, and it worked. I mean, that's what great coaches do, the combinations. When all of a sudden you get into this far into the season and you start pressing buttons, and you know what? It's not working. To see them in this zone of, hey, I you know, there's an answer there somewhere. I mean, it's really almost hard to watch. Now, I'm talking about the games. I'm talking about the coaches and the press conferences. I mentioned Roy Williams. You can feel Roy's dejection and frustration literally through the screen as you watch it. And there's Muffet trying to answer the question. And even the first sigh answered the question. Much less the next four or five. So, you know, sometimes you just don't have the personnel in place to be the standard of which you have been. And North Carolina's been there in men's hoops and Notre Dame women's hoops. And we're talking about two of the all-time greats. But both of these seasons for both of these respective clubs, this is a real battle. This is gonna, and I'm not sure there is an answer at this point in time. As Seth said, hey, you know, it's January the 15th. You kind of who you are at this point. And this is not 2 weeks in the season and we got time to figure it out. I mean, we're halfway through this thing.
But isn't it interesting that sometimes we use this terminology of how we say it's hard to win, right? It's hard to win.
Well, it's hard to win consistently at that level.
Right.
And we're talking about, again, Notre Dame
but
women's basketball.
But it's just hard to win sometimes,
basketball.
Too. It's just hard to win. When you're putting things together and putting things in motion, it's hard to win. And for Muffet McGraw and Roy Williams, it's hard to win. And now, why is it hard to win? Well, when that happens, it's not one thing, it's a lot of things. And now all of a sudden, all those things have come together at an intersection where it's impacting the season. You know, Is the team growing the way you had anticipated? No. Are the players developed? Are you playing healthy? No. Is Muffet McGraw lost everybody?
Everybody.
She knew it was going to be a struggle. But yet when you're as good as she's been at Notre Dame and you hit that bump, then all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, I can – the car goes over the speed bump and it may wobble, but I can get it back on the road.
There's a plan B, C, and D.
Right. Yeah. But when you can't get it back balanced, then all of a sudden it all starts building. And I had a coach years ago say, it's like you get hit by the first wave. You're standing in the ocean, which you would never do, and you get hit by the first wave. Well, the first wave kind of jostles you, but then you get your balance back. He said, but if the waves keep coming, you never have your balance. And what you're doing then is you're floating. And what you got to do is you got to hope that you float to a point where you can get your balance and get both feet back down. Neither Carolina or Notre Dame on the women's side can get both feet back down at this point.
Not yet. You know, and for Rory, he doesn't play again until the weekend.
And he gets a Pitt team, by the way, that lost at Miami and had every right to get to either a double overtime or a win last night.
They're going to be hot. The way that game ended last night, if you didn't see the end of it, do yourself a favor. And it was so crazy. Even Jeff Capel afterwards said, you know what, I don't want to comment on the officiating. It'll cost me some money.
Right.
That's what he said.
And I got to tell you, Jeff Capel's done a marvelous job. Now,
sure,
Carolina's had a week off. We told you yesterday late in our show about the injury to Brandon Robinson in the car accident Saturday night. Thankfully, he's okay. The other driver was cited for DWI in Orange County. The idea that Carolina can get it back. This is an important week for Carolina, even though they're not playing, right? Don't you think? I mean, just to get in the gym, get kind of who they are together, see if they can find that vibe, if anything, Pac. But they are hurt, and they've not collectively been successful now in a while. That's a hard point.
You got to coach them up, but you also have to have some players.
Right now you do.
And I know there's going to be people going, well, Pac, you know, you don't have to have 15 McDonald's All-Americas to be a good team. Hey, I get that. I mean, Roy Williams, a brilliant coach. Mm-hmm. Muffet McGraw, brilliant coach.
Yeah.
Hall of Famers now. They will eventually figure it out, but I don't know if they will figure it out this season. That's the key.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.